Father, as always, I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. Now, let that light shine out of darkness into our hearts. The Lord said, let there be light. And so we say, let there be light this morning. And give us understanding concerning what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I do pray that the Lord will give us a good room with no interruptions. And the replays will be fine and so on. You know, because this is going to be very important. And I want you to pay close attention and, listen in carefully. Father, as always, I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. Now, let that light shine out of darkness into our hearts. The Lord said, let there be light. And so we say, let there be light this morning. And give us understanding concerning what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I do pray that the Lord will give us a good room with no interruptions. And the replays will be fine and so on. You know, because this is going to be very important. And I want you to pay close attention and, listen in carefully to what the Spirit of God is going to say to us today. Well, I've been talking on this Emerge series, and this is kind of part of that, but I titled it today, Caution. That's right. I want to call out some things. You know, if you've been on this platform for any length of time, you know, we've tried to debunk many things, you know, traditions that we've carried on, that, you know, may or may not be correct. It's not every tradition we carry on that may be dangerous, but some of them may be harmful. I mean, it's kind of like the tradition of Christmas. It may or may not be dangerous. Depends on how you look at it. But even when we get into the truths of the Word of God, I mean, the things that have to do with that, powers of the age to come, then we better tread very carefully, because, you know, if we mix things up in there, you know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, you know, and that's when it becomes, you know, really, really dangerous, you know. So today, caution, modern day Nico Latans, and the so-called fivefold myth. I'm going to debunk that this morning. So you listen to me carefully. Praise the Lord. Now, a couple of days ago, I just had my phone open and thinking that maybe I'll see what's going on Clubhouse. It was kind of in the evening. I don't usually go in the evenings, you know, because busy throughout the day and all of that. And then I saw something that, you know, was on my screen. You know, it's a title. Something jumped up. And it said, you know, apostles and prophets are emerging. And I said, really? You know, the word emerging, you know, caught my attention. But then, you know, what the title said was prophets and apostles are emerging, you know, and I thought, well, maybe I ought to go in there and listen into their perspective. And then, you know, in my spirit, the Lord said, let them be. They be blind leaders of the blind. You know, they might both fall into the ditch. And I said, what? But, you know, and I try to argue that, you know, maybe I go in there and straighten them out. And I said, you'll never do it. And I remember, and I was thinking, you know, when I was a young man, much younger than this, years ago, I would have gone in there and tried to stir things up. That's what I used to do. You know, just go in there, create some commotion, just drop some things, you know, light up some fireballs and things like that. You know, but this time around, you know, a little more wisdom, you know, and so forth. Just move on. Well, you know, but in my mind, I said, Lord, but is it okay if I deal with this in my own room? Because he said, of course. So, you know, that's their platform. They can preach, do whatever they want. I don't know what they said. You know, so I'm not knocking them because I don't really know what they said. Maybe they, you know, gave the truth. But I'll tell you something. Let me give it to you straight right now. What the world is waiting for, what the world is groaning for, is not apostles, is not prophets, is not evangelists, is not pastors, and is not teachers. We've had these things forever, and the world is still groaning. That's right. You heard me right. You know, the world is still groaning. The creation is still groaning. We've had hundreds and thousands even of these apostles and many more. In fact, everywhere you go on Clubhouse now, there's apostles, there's prophets, there's pastors, there's everything. Actually, apostles and prophets are more popular now than anything else, you know. You know, and they, well, that rule said they are emerging. And I just said, well, they can emerge all they want, but that's not what the world is waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, let me set the record straight. Right here, today. That's why I call it caution. The world is not waiting for apostles. What we need is not more apostles. What we need is not more pastors. What we need is not more, you know, prophets or whatever we call these things. What we need and the world is waiting for are the sons of God. And, you know, until those sons of God arrive, anything else can emerge all they want. And I'll tell you something too. When people begin to see the semblance of emerging in the spirit now, because they've never seen, nobody's ever seen a son of God, what it really looks like. Not in this generation. They haven't really seen it. So when you see something powerful emerging, they call them pastor. Like in my country where I grew up, if you have any kind of, you know, if you even talk to people about Christ or look like you are, you know, some kind of religious person, they start calling you pastor. But that's all they know. You know, now today, pastor is not good enough. I mean, you gotta be, you know, you gotta be more, you gotta be classy, you gotta be higher, you know, so prophet, yeah, maybe. Apostle, maybe. You know, and maybe past prophet. I've seen people who were once a prophet on this platform that then became promoted to apostle. You know, so people get promoted now from being a prophet to apostle. Wow. You know, and you know, it just reminded me of back in the day. You know, in the days years ago, when I first came into contact with the so-called end time message, you know, there was a problem in my country back then among many fellowship groups where people were trying to ascribe some mystery unto themselves just because they heard that the Lord was doing a strange work. And then they began to devise to themselves strange things, you know, and then everybody wanted to be a prophet. And this was in the late 70s, early 80s, long time ago. Everybody wanted to be an apostle. And if you jumped up and said you were a prophet, then somebody else was going. I was a young man then. We were all in our youth, you know, and this was something that was happening. It was a tremendous revival that broke forth. But then, you know, the canker got in there. That's right. The leaven got in there. And if somebody jumped up and said they were a prophet, then the other person would try to be an apostle. You know, so it was like a one-upper, you know. They're a prophet, then I'm an apostle. Because the apostle is greater than the prophet, you know. And all of that. You know, this is what they said. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this was the mentality, you know. And people have this thing in their head. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a story. Some years ago, several years ago, maybe around 15 or so, I don't know. You know, we first, it was early in the days when we first opened our GMI church here in Phoenix, Arizona. I remember it because the incident happened in the first building that where we were. I don't remember the dates exactly, but I know we were in that first building. Some guy came off the street. Some of you have heard this story. I know my wife has heard it. I knows it. And, you know, some guy came off the street. I was trying to prophesy, you know, in the, you know, around the church. You know, call people in the corner and try to prophesy. And I said, no, can't do that. You know, so I, you know, went there and talked to him, got his number. So I called him up later to try to straighten him up. And he said to me that, you know, I need to listen to him because he is a prophet and I'm just a pastor. And he said, he's like here and I'm like down here. And the prophet is above the pastor and whatever he says goes. And I'm just a pastor. And he's a prophet. And he come. This thing happened in America, ladies and gentlemen. And I said, well, you know, I was going to call you brother, but I don't know what to call you now. I said, but, you know, not in my church. You know, I said, you know, you're welcome to come. But the next time you come, you sit down and you behave yourself. Otherwise, I'm going to have you thrown out, or I'm going to call the police to have you thrown out. You know, now, I'm not usually like that. Some of you have never seen that side of me. Because I'm never like that. You know, I'm just this easygoing, you know, just, you know, encourage the people, you know, that kind of thing. That's what I do. But, you know, when you try to muddle up the waters, the Bible says, you know, take good heed to your flock, you know, over whom the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Look well to your herds and to the state of your flock, and don't let any wolves come in. Now, when I see wolf coming in, now then, you might see this other side, which I don't normally do, you know. And I told the guy, you come in next time, I'm going to have you arrested. Of course, that was the last time he came. He never showed up again. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't put up with that stuff, you know, to try to say that, oh, you're a prophet, you're above the pastor, you're an apostle, you're above the prophet, and all of this. Where do you see that in the scriptures? You know, now the scripture says, you know, God has set some in the church first, apostles. First means they were the first set of people he called. As Christ, didn't mean that they are first in order above anybody else. I mean, can you say that the head is above the hand? You know, cut off the hand and just have the head by itself. Let there be a head that has no body and just a head on the floor. It'll be a grotesque thing. But just bring out, man, the brain is supposed to be, you know, the most powerful thing in the body, right? And do all these things. Well, take the brain out of the head and set it on the table. I mean, you run away when you see it. It's ugly. It's repulsive. You know, so, you know, there is no such thing in the body of Christ that one part is above the other. In fact, Paul wrote about it. He spent a whole chapter writing about it in 1 Corinthians 12. The body ministry. You know, the head cannot say, you know, I'm better than the hand, or the hand say I'm better than the foot, or the foot say, you know, but we've carried on this tradition for a long time, you know, because it feels good. I mean, it just feels good to our senses, you know, that I'm a prophet, so that feels good. You know, I'm a pastor, so that feels good. You know, I'm a this and a that, that feels good, you know. Well, you know, people call me pastor, and they call me so because I am, but does that make me feel good that I'm a pastor and I'm better than anybody else? Of course not. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you something the Lord told me many years ago when all this stuff was happening that I alluded to earlier. You know, the Lord gave me these words. One day, early in the morning, I heard that some of these groups, where they were doing these things, was back in Lagos then, in Nigeria. They were having a 3-day meeting. And I said, oh, okay, well, let me go see. Because I'm in my heart, I'm like, can any good thing come out of Lagos? You know, I said, well, but let me go see. So as I got up in the morning, I was trying to pray before I went to that so-called three-day meeting. And as I was about to pray, Holy Ghost said, because, and I remember those words, I never forgot those words. He said, because these people have heard that I'm doing a strange thing, therefore they begin to devise to themselves strange acts. And I actually said, because these people have heard that I'm doing a strange act, therefore they begin to devise to themselves strange things. And he said, be careful now, because many of them will lose their birthright. Point blank. I heard that morning. And I said, wow, birthright. Why in the world would they lose their birthright? So that thing guided me through, I was a young man. Then, it was probably, I don't know, maybe late 70s. And indeed, that prophecy, it wasn't even a prophecy, it's a word of caution, unfolded before my eyes. I would go into the fellowship and people would be jumping up and down. The Lord is doing a strange work. The Lord is doing a strange work. The Lord is doing a strange thing. And then their lives were completely upside down. People were messing around, living in adultery, in fornication, in all of these things. And they were saying the Lord is doing a strange work. Well, what kind of work is the Lord doing? People were, preaching all kinds of false doctrines and calling it up in the name of the Lord. Well, the Lord didn't have any portion with that. And they were shouting their way. The very Babylon that they thought they were opposing, because then there was a message, come out of her, my people. The very Babylon that they thought they were coming out of, they were shouting their way right back into that. And it was just a mess. Well, I was on the outside. Sometimes I went to the fellowship. I was never a part of the system. Always there, to the contrary. I mean, there are all kinds of doctrines. You leave school, leave this, go and do this, go and do that. And I never followed any of that, because I knew better. So you got to know the word. If you don't know the word, well, you'll be a sucker. Now, today, why do I say all of that? Because I see the same thing arising. The devil has heard that sons of God are emerging. So all of a sudden, all these things, now must come. Prophets are emerging, apostles are emerging. Let me tell you something about a prophet. I believe in prophets. I believe in the apostle, the role. I believe in all of these things. But a real prophet, is someone that brings the word of God for spiritual, recovery back to the word. That is not all this prophetic word that people are looking for everywhere, thinking that that's what makes somebody a prophet, that's childish. Now, as long as you are still looking for a prophetic word, jump from one place to another and jump to another place, look for a prophetic word, sure, they'll give you a prophetic word, and it may be correct, and most of the time it will be correct, but that's all childish. Paul said, when I was a child, I did childish things. Now, is that wrong? No, it just means they're still childish. And as long as that's where you are, that's the level where you are. And they'll keep you at that level. And they enjoy it. You keep coming to them for their prophetic word. It's the same spirit as the Nicolaitans. And I'm calling it out right now. And that's the divide and conquer spirit. We are over here and you are down there. We are the clergy, and you are the laity, and we are better than you, and you can't read the Bible, is what they used to tell them back then. In the 4th century, this is when these things happened. Jesus said, you have among you the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And later on, it actually became a doctrine, a doctrine. At first, in Ephesus, it was the deeds. Later on, it became a doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Well, I see the deeds now, and I see even the doctrine. And I'm going, that's why I want to debunk this myth about this so-called fivefold. And there's some of you here that love to use that phrase. And I want to debunk that right now. Because number one, that phrase is not in the Bible. Number two, when you bring out the concept of fivefold, you know, I don't know where that came from. It gives the impression that one person may have, well, fold means part. Fivefold actually really means five parts of the same one thing. You know, so it's like, oh, so fivefold, although people are using it to call apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers fivefolds, that's, you know, let's stop using that. I don't play into this thing, you know, because this thing gets into people's heads and they think that they are better than everybody else. And everybody's talking about, you know, fivefold and this and that and so forth. You know, look, this is what the Lord said for us at the end of the age. Upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Glory to God. You know, that seven anointings of God will be upon every one lively stone in that building. You know, look, I want to put some of these so-called, and the Lord actually is the one that's going to do it. Let me take myself out of the equation. But the Lord is going to put some of these so-called fivefold people, you know, he's going to take them out of their work, basically. Why? Well, let me read it to you. Because, you know, this is not what God is doing. This is what is the doings of the people. I may run some people off from this room, you know, after this, so be it, you know. But I'll tell you what, you know, listen to the book of Ephesians, you know, chapter 4. This is what the Lord said. You know, he said, like, you know, God gave some apostles, some prophets, you know, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4 verse 11. God's the one that gave. So that's good. Now today people are being promoted. Not God. People are being promoted. I've seen people, you know, that were once prophet, the next time, and now apostle. Because, you know, it's a hierarchy kind of thing in their head. There's no hierarchy in Christ. Now, not only that, but hear what it says. For the role of these pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles, and I'll tell you their real role in a minute. Their role here is for the perfecting of the saints, is for the work of the ministry, and is for the edifying of the body of Christ. And it's for the building up. It's not for us to sit on some kind of, you know, pedestal that's above every, you know, above the people. Now, the above, the head and shoulders above the people kind of thing is a Saul type of negative and evil anointing. Now, Saul was head and shoulders above the people. And Saul, he loved to constrict everybody. I mean, he sees a powerful young man called David growing up and becoming, doing great things, and he'll bring him under him. You know, come and, you know, be my servant. Now, David was anointed to be king, you know, but Saul would bring him in, try to make him his servant, because he saw something rising in him, and, you know, and Saul thing is to just perpetrate what they want to do. Saul wanted Jonathan to be king. That's to perpetrate that, you know, and so these apostles and prophets are rising up and trying to curate other apostles and prophets. You can't do that. It doesn't work. Now, their role will come to an end, though. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the news. Until, so the until there means, well, there's a stopping time. You know, until we're all coming to unity of the faith. Where are we coming to? We're coming into the knowledge of the Son of God. We're coming unto perfection. And we're coming unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the sons of God. When they get to that level, we're done with apostles, prophets, and all these things. We're looking for the sons of God. We're done with pastors even. I'm not knocking, you know, prophets and apostles just because, you know, that's not the title that I use. I'm knocking all of these things, as long as they are not used in the right thing, whether it's apostles, whether it's even pastors. This is not, God never intended for these people to be above anybody else. Jesus was Lord and Master, but But he served the people. You know, and Jesus said, if I be your Lord and Master, and you call me so, and so I am, if I've washed your feet, then you ought to also wash your other feet. But no, today, this prophet is apostle above everybody else. And more of them are coming. Well, let me tell you what they should really be doing. You've heard, some of you have heard me say this before, but these roles are supposed to be factory workers. You heard me. They are supposed to be working in the manufacturing plant, and their product is sons of God. You know, now if they do it right, they themselves, you know, Bible says, you know, the husbandman will be first partaker of the fruits. They themselves, if they do it right, you know, remember, let me give you the story of Jesus. For they themselves will be a son of God if they do it right. Let me give you the story of Jesus. Because, well, you know, after all, we're about to be in the Christmas, I mean, thing, we're in the Christmas season already. The word, you know, was formed in Mary. He says, well, you know, the word was, became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And that formation, something happened. There was an intimacy. That's right. Between the Holy Ghost and Mary. And it was the word that was deposited in her. Be it unto me according to that word. When she received that word, something formed. There was an intimacy. Something happened. There's always an intimacy before something is born. Now, that holy thing which was born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. That's what the angel told her. Because she said, well, you know, who's, you know, how can this thing be? He said, what about it? The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. Therefore, that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. Well, the Son of the Highest. And Jesus, when he came, his job was to bring forth other sons. But he himself was a son. That's right. You know, according to the book of Romans chapter 8, you can read it there. The purpose of God, according to election, even before the world began, the things that were in his heart, those whom he foreknew, them he also, you know, called. Hallelujah. And here's how he puts it in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. In a powerful chapter, this Romans chapter 8. It's in the same chapter, it talks about the creature waiting for the manifestation of the Son. I'll get to that in a minute, but let me read this. Romans 8 and 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So he was partaker. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, we read this just yesterday or the other day, that he himself, you know, likewise took part of the same, the flesh and blood, you know, he will be the first among many brethren in bringing many sons unto glory. You know, he did that. So Christ was to bring the sons unto glory, but he would be the first, the real son that the world had ever seen for a long time. Adam was the first, but by that time, you know, it was not really, you know, I mean, he did not remain in the estate in which God put him. He fell. You know, so God did away with that. Of course, God already knew that from before even the world began. And the real Son of God now comes, shows up. And he's going to show us how it's done. But he's not going to be the only one. He's going to bring forth sons back unto him. And he's the blueprint. You know, so if these apostles, prophets, and so forth, they do their work right, their product coming out of the manufacturing plant will be the sons of God. But they themselves will be sons if they do it right, just like Christ. Christ was the first, and then he turned out many sons. I mean, that was his goal, to bring forth many sons unto glory. And, you know, but the world is still looking for the sons of God. Jesus laid the groundwork for us to be sons. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12, as many as received him, he gave them power to become. Now that's a process to it. Become sons of God. You know, it's a process to becoming. You know, well, all this time before I've been trying to become the sons of God, but we lost sight. You know, so because we cannot attain the sonship, well, we, you know, defaulted to these so-called fivefolders. And let's debunk that one right now. You know, that's not what God is waiting for. That's not what God is looking. You know, Christ did that. He finished with that. You know, people are now doing those things and putting themselves into those roles and so forth so that they can be head and shoulders above the people. Now, when you hear something like apostles and prophets are emerging, what immediately comes to your head? They're going to be above the people, you know, but that's not what the world is waiting for. You know, we have thousands of apostles, you know, maybe tens and thousands of prophets, I don't know, but still, the whole creation is still growing. You know, where are the sons of God? We got all these apostles and prophets and pastors and so on, but where are the sons of God? You know, now what God is putting in my mouth to teach on this emerging series, you know, both spiritual and physical and so forth, the spiritual realm is the emerging of the sons of God, not the emerging of pastors, not the emerging of. Now, some people now look forward to, they want to be, quote unquote, I want to be in the fivefold. In fact, I was, you know, mentoring a young man some months ago. He said, yeah, you know, I want to be in the fivefold. I'm like, what in the world is that? You know, and you know, you look at people, you see, you know, a preacher on stage with a mic and so forth, and you think that's glamorous. You know, so people want to be like that. And so I took this man through a little school of about an hour, showing some things in the script. By the time he left that place, he said, oh my goodness, I want to be what God has designed for my life to be. And that's right. You know, and people glamorize these things, you know. And they read even the book of the Acts of the Apostles. They read, there are some things that are done in the Acts of the Apostles that we read, many things in the Bible. There are some things that are doctrinal. There are some things that are, you know, anecdotal references or historical things that happened. You know, it's not everything that's in the Bible that's a doctrine. Some things are just records of what happened. Now, all scripture, though, is given by inspiration. Whether it's a record, whether it's history, whether it's doctrine, it's good. You know, so we read in the Acts of the Apostles, and then we see where the apostles said, well, you know, we can't serve tables. You know, because all the widows and everything were complaining that they were left out in the daily ministration. And they were grabbing on the apostles to come and do these things to them. And the people said, look, Jesus told us to preach the word, not to serve tables. Serving tables is necessary, but we need to give ourselves to prayer and to the word. So choose you among yourselves, seven men full of the Holy Ghost and so forth, whom we can, you know, appoint over this service. They can do these things. So they chose Stephen and Philip and five others, you know, who were full of the Holy Ghost to attend to tables. The deacons, if you want to call them so. And so, you know, people read that and they have this separation, this hierarchy thing in their head. Well, the apostles are over here and these ones are down here. They can only serve tables and we can do this over here. Well, that was not the intent because, you know, Stephen and Philip, you know, obviously, didn't think so at all. Now, they did their service as they would, but yet they went out among the people. Now, it's not only on the stage when you have the microphone in your hand that you can do the work of the ministry. And people think that because they want to be on stage, they want to be like the prophet, they want to be the one that has that word for the people. You know, I'll talk to you about that too in a minute. Now, Stephen, in the book of Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, we are told that Stephen was full of faith and power, and he did great wonders and miracles among the people. He didn't have a microphone. He wasn't on stage. He wasn't one of the so-called apostles, but that didn't stop him because he was coming into his own. You know, the thing that God put in his heart to do, he was going to do it. It was not going to be defaced by, well, you're just a deacon, or you're just a this or this and that. And the people weren't, you know, the apostles weren't saying that either. But that's how people have taken it and translated it. They were just saying, look, we need to focus on. There's other areas that need to be done, you know, but we are called to do this. Let others who may be called to do that, let them do that. But we will do this, and, you know, the others will work together and so forth. But people have taken that to put a hierarchy, you know, in the body of Christ. But Stephen, he worked miracles among the people. In fact, Philip, who was one of the seven, he went down to Samaria. You can read that in Acts chapter 8. And in verse 6, you know, when he went down to Samaria, the whole city, you know, cried out. You know, Bible says that in Acts chapter 8 verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He didn't just stop at, well, I got to serve tables. I got to serve the widows. Well, that's it. You know, that's all. I'm not part of the fivefold. You know, because I'm not part of the fivefold, I can't go and preach. Can't go and do miracles. I can't do wonders. Well, Stephen didn't think so. Neither did Philip. Philip went down to Samaria and preached the Christ unto them. And the people gave one accord and gave heed in one accord to those things that he spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. But, you know, I mean, Philip caused such an uproar in that place, you know, people were bringing in their curious eyes, they were doing all kinds of things and so forth. None of the apostles were there when Philip started this thing. Well, so he needed some help, and he called for the apostles. You know, and when the apostles came, the Holy Ghost said, okay, your work is done. Let the apostles, you know, carry on. You go over here. And the Holy Spirit took him into the desert to meet the eunuch. And because he obeyed, when he was finished, Holy Ghost gave him bodily transportation, which none of the apostles, by the way, had experienced, except for one time when they were all in the boat, and the Bible said that the boat was immediately on the other side. Well, maybe the boat was immediately transported. But none of them, I don't think, experienced that individual thing that Philip experienced. You know, so this business of apostles are better, prophets are higher, this and this and this, it's all a myth. And we need to get away from it. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lot. Now, let me use that to talk about the reason why these modern day Nicolaitans are making merchandise of the people and merchandising the gifts of the Spirit is because of the posture of the people. And the people, you know, put them on a pedestal and say, we need a word. You know, of course, they're going to have a word for you. You know, did you know that the children of Israel, because they refused to hear from God themselves, God wanted them to be a priest, a nation of priesthood, you know, he said. Kingdom of priests, you know, Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. If you will hearken to my voice and obey my voice, you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. That's what God wanted, but they wouldn't do it. And so they wanted Moses, like, we can't hear God, you know, Exodus 20. We can't hear his voice. You be the voice. You give us a prophetic word. The prophetic word stuff, ladies and gentlemen, started from that place. God never intended for Moses to be a prophet unto these people, you know, but because, you know, they wouldn't themselves have a relationship with God that God was looking for, then Moses became a prophet over them, and they brought it upon themselves, and so they were always looking for Moses to give them the prophetic word, and when Moses was not found for 40 days, well, they said, well, we don't know what has become of this Moses. We have not received a prophetic word in 40 days. We don't know. You know, maybe, you know, we don't know. You know, so up, get you up, make us gods that will go before us. You know, very quickly they disintegrated into, you know, the golden calf. That's right. Golden calf happened because they are looking for a prophetic word. And when the medium, which was Moses, that was going to give them the prophetic word, was no longer found. Just 40 days. In Exodus chapter 32, they disintegrated into the golden calf. Now, this is dangerous. Be careful now. You're looking for a prophetic word from here to there to there. You know, this is the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen. You have the Holy Spirit. And when I get into the Transform and Transfigure series, we'll be talking more about, you know, walking in the Spirit, who we are in Christ, where we are in Christ, how we function you know, and all these prophetic word things, you know, and so forth. Look, God wants each of us, you know, to walk with him in the prophetic. But I'm not talking about a prophetic word. Now, we are always in the prophetic realm, you know. And look, even all the gifts of the Spirit, let me say this right now. All the gifts of the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all those gifts and so forth, you know. Or anything that's in the realm of the giftings of the Spirit, that's not even what we're talking about of being in the prophetic realm. The prophetic realm is where the sons of God are. They are there. Because they are there with God all the time. You know. Now, how many people have the gifts of the Spirit in the world now? Millions. Millions of people speak with tongues. Millions of people do these things. I mean, but do we have any sons of God? I don't know. Let the sons of God stand up. Show me one. You know, yeah, because if we really have, all he did was in the name of Jesus, all we needed was, I mean, there was only one. And look at all he accomplished. You know, today, we're just braggadocious with all these titles and so forth, but we're not doing anything. People speak in tongues, people do this stuff, but look at their lives, really. You know, where is that at? You know, so those things are there. And you know that even people are using the gifts of God today to build Babylon? That's right. The very gifts of God is what people are using to build these wild, crazy churches that are filled with nonsense. They're not even filled with, you know, the word of God. You know, but they make merchandise, and the people have it in here, so they keep all these people to themselves, you know, and so forth, you know. And the Lord said, well, leave them alone. They'll be blind leaders of the blind. They'll both fall into the ditch. And I said, wow. You know, he said, yeah, just leave them alone. You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, yes, indeed, God wants us to be in the realm of the prophetic. But that's not, and I'll be talking more about how the prophetic gift, this is the gift of prophecy, how it works, you know. It doesn't make you a prophet, but everybody can do that. Anyone can exercise any of the gifts of the Spirit, if that's the way the Holy Spirit chooses to put it upon you. But each of us are portals. Let me put it to you this way. You know, I'm going to teach more when we get to the Transformation and Transfiguration series. Each of us are portals. We're a gateway to, you know, a river. You know, these rivers are attributes of Christ. And we are portals, you know, these attributes, you flow out, you know, from within us. The source is the Holy Spirit. Flow out from within us, you know, and touch the lives around us. And that's all we are. And, you know, we need to discover, you know, that gate, that portal. You know, the scripture says, you know, open ye the gates. Lift up your heads, ye everlasting gates, and let the King of Glory shine forth and come through. You know, when our lives are connected in the right way with God, we become a portal for great things to happen upon the earth, ladies and gentlemen. Now, but when we think in our minds subconsciously that some people are higher than us, you know, or the higher people themselves think that they are better than everybody else, then this thing is all confusion and it's all nonsense. You know, and, you know, the Lord has no part of that. People can do any of that stuff, you know, but they're blind leaders of the blind. What the Lord is calling for is individual lively stones. Now, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, all these things, they have their function, you know. They have their function. Their function is to edify the body of Christ. Edify means build up. You know, prepare the people for emerging into their role. And then push them out of the manufacturing plant. You know, and ladies and gentlemen, I've given this analogy before. When you're trying to buy a car, you know, your favorite car, maybe even a luxury car, and you love that car, you go down to the dealership, and you say, that's the one I want. Nobody's asking questions about who are the hands that put that car together. Nobody cares. Nobody knows who the workers in the factory are. They are not even in the equation. What you love is the finished product that you see. You don't care who assembled the car. Nobody asks. Have you ever gone to your favorite car dealership and asked them, okay, who are the people that assemble this car? That's nonsense. Nobody does that. You love the car. You see the car. You want the car. Well, that's what the world is waiting for. The sons of God. Nobody's waiting for the factory workers. Nobody cares. You know, when the factory workers are done, when the factory closes in the evening, let them themselves come out and be part of the sons of God. You know, now, in the factory, which is the church, you know, they're trying to curate the sons of God. And sons of God are coming out of the church. You know, the church, I'm talking global now. The church is a place where the sons of God are being manufactured. You know, so God has put set some in the body of Christ, you know, and to do all this work to bring us to that point. But when we get in there, when we get to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, their job is finished. But they would never like their job to be finished. And do you know why? You know, people belittle themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some of you in here that are belittling yourself. You know, when it's time for you to do something in the spirit realm, they're looking for your pastor to come and pray for you. Well, you are still a baby, and you will be a baby if you continue to do that. You know, looking for the pastor to come and pray for you. But how? Is the pastor prayer heard more than you? Well, that's a myth in our head. I think you think that the pastor or the prophet God hears them. Maybe in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we are all able ministers of the New Testament. God has given us the Spirit of God. You know, there is no male, no female, no this, no that, you know, no hierarchy in Christ. Now, all these functions are there, but they work together in unison. There's no hierarchy. So today, you know, well, you know, you need a pastor. When you buy a new car, the pastor has to come and pray over it. You know, when you have a child, pastor has to come and dedicate the child. When you buy a new house, pastor has to come there and dedicate. What's all that? You know, the fivefold has to be there and so forth. You know, when you move into that house, do you know who moved into that house? Christ! Hallelujah! Christ in you! The hope of glory. You know, if you carry that glory of God, you don't need some pastor come and pray over your house. What's that all about? Now, they can do it. I mean, they do it. You know, and if they do it well, the Lord will bless you. But you can do it. The Holy Spirit is in you. Hallelujah. Now, what we are teaching in these verses is for you to emerge into the sonship. Not the pastor. Not the apostle. Not the prophets. They will continue to be pastors, apostles, prophets, and so forth until you all emerge. And when we emerge, those people are done. Now, I'm going to put some people out of work right now with this kind of teaching. So they won't like to hear it, you know. But it is the truth, ladies and gentlemen. You don't need pastor to come and pray over your car. You lay hands on the car yourself. You don't need pastor to come and pray over your kid that's sick. You lay your hands on the sick yourself in your house. But Jesus didn't say, you know, that, you know, when you go out, when you send them out, he said, you do it. Lay your hands on the sick. You know, these signs will follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Then these signs should be following you. You know, so, now, moreover, ladies and gentlemen, you know, now that I'm seeing these things, and people are saying, oh my goodness, you know. Well, the truth of the matter is this. You know, there are many times that Jesus, you know, he will try to build the faith of the people, and he will tell them all kinds of things, and put up for a long time with a lot of stuff, and just trying to encourage the people and try to build them. But there are other times that he took the whip, and he went in the temple and scattered their tables, and just whipped the whole thing up. You know, so, you know, Holy Spirit, he can do whatever he wants. And behold, saith the Lord, my fan is in my hand, and I will thoroughly sift and purge my flock. That's right. That's what the Lord is doing now. He's trying to clean house, really. Let's get rid of all this stuff. Now, this stuff is what's preventing us from entering into our maturity. As long as you're still over here looking for a prophetic word, you're still a baby. And you continue to be a baby. You're not really going to fully emerge. You should be a kingdom of priests. You should be the priest. You should be the king. You know, that's what John says. They have made us kings and priests. Not, you know, made you subordinate to some prophet. He has not made you subordinate to some apostle. He's made you kings and priests. The apostle, the prophet, everybody, they're all the same. As far as Christ is concerned, you know, and Jesus himself, Lord and Master, did you know that they could never tell Jesus apart from the disciples? Did you know that? They couldn't. You know, it took Judas to, you know, betray him. And Judas told them that, look, they said, well, how are we going to know him? He said, don't worry about it. I'll go up there and I'll kiss him on the cheek. That'll be the one. You know, because Jesus dressed the same. He looked like them. He talked like them. He didn't carry himself in some kind of posture that was different. They couldn't even tell him apart. You know, but today, oh no, you can tell the prophet apart. You can tell the apostle apart. Oh, absolutely. And if you don't address them by their correct name, apostle, prophet, bishop, archbishop, and so forth. And do you know that you can't even be a bishop anymore? You got to be an archbishop. And you can't even be, I don't know. It's just, you know, on and on and on and on. All this nonsense. And this hierarchy just keeps on building. You know, and... Yeah, but here's how Jesus put it. My favorite verse in debunking all of that is found in Luke chapter 16 and what Jesus said in verse 15. This is how Jesus debunked all that. He said, look, you know, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. I'm an apostle. You know, I'm a prophet. And all of this, well, okay. He said, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men, fivefolders and all this stuff, is an abomination in the sight of God. Whoever called you a fivefolder, you know, God may have called you to be an apostle. Do it, you know. But, you know, there's so many apostles today that are man-made that God didn't call. Praise God. Yeah, so many apostles and prophets these days that God didn't call. Now, if we have real prophets, I do. A real prophet will bring the word, not just personal prophecy. Personal prophecy, that's what's keeping you a baby in the Lord. If you're looking for personal prophecy, that's the one I call prophetic word here and there. You know, that personal prophecy, if that, you know, that's why you have all these merchandisers. You can pay them, you know, an offering or a gift or whatever, and then they give you a personal prophecy. And you keep coming back more, and then after a while, they actually start selling their prophecy. I've, you know, seen it done on this clubhouse. You know, if you want this kind of miracle, you sow this kind of seed. You know, and the people fall for it. I mean, I don't know, you know. Some people are just so gullible for everything, you know. And they just fall for everything. I don't understand it, you know. And Jesus said, well, the Holy Spirit also said to me 2 nights ago, let them be. Because I was going to think, oh, I'll go in there and stare at some things. And no, let them be. They be blind leaders of the blind. And I said, wow, yeah, so let them be, you know. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We have just like we have modern day Pharisees, we also have modern day Nicolaitans. Yeah, that's these so-called fivefolders. And you, every time you use that, you are contributing to that mess. You know, and stop it. You know, now, somebody may be a pastor, somebody may be a prophet, somebody may be an apostle, somebody may be an evangelist, somebody may be a teacher. We have those today. And there are many true ones that are doing the work. We have true evangelists. I mean, in their heart, their passion is to win souls, to go out there, win souls for Christ. Because that's what they are called to do. And we have them, and they're doing it. And I'm not knocking that. But I'm knocking the ones that are using it just for a title, just to be above the people. Those are the ones that I'm knocking. But the ones that are truly doing it, you know, I mean, they're there. You know, if they're truly serving the people and truly trying to edify the people and build up the body of Christ and so forth, yeah, God bless their heart. You know, But if they're looking for, you know, accolades, well, they have their reward. And Jesus said, well, you have your reward when you're doing that. But ladies and gentlemen, let's not feed into that. Okay? You know, you will never emerge into the full sonship if you keep feeding to that. You never do it. You know, because you think you're not good enough. This is what the people thought. We're not good enough to hear the word of God. You go here and come tell it to us. So as long as you keep thinking that you cannot hear from God yourself, you'll be feeding into that. You know, and then they take advantage of that and then tell you, come and get a prophetic word. Come and get a personal prophecy. Where in the world did we see that in the scriptures? You know, so look, when there are things that are, you know, according to God's eternal purpose, yeah, he can send an angel to give somebody a word. He sent Gabriel to Mary. That's according to his eternal purpose. But all these other things that people are doing today, even the prophet Agabus, when he got up and took Paul's girdle and tried to give him a personal prophecy, the man who owns his girdle, when he gets to Jerusalem, he'll be bound, you know, hand and foot like I'm doing right here. Paul said, I know it. You know, Paul already knew it. The Lord already told it to Paul. You can come and confirm it. But Paul said, I don't care. I'm ready to die even. You know, so it's nothing that you're going to tell. Look, you should not be hearing personal word for your life for the first time from a third party. that's wrong. You know, but, you know, am I now a bastard that God cannot speak to me as his son? You got to go tell somebody else to come and tell me? What kind of relationship would that be? You know. So, listen, you are a child of God, and you are coming into sonship. You know, away with all those childish stuff. You know, get into the cloud of glory with the Lord. Arise and shine, you know, and take on the nature of Christ. You know, did Christ need some prophet come and tell him something? No. You know, he heard directly from God. He said, look, the son can do nothing except what the father tells him. Christ was hearing directly from the father. Now, what the father was to Christ is what the Holy Spirit is to us now. You must hear directly from the Holy Spirit. Don't need any third party tell you anything. Now, a true prophet will bring the word for correction, for guidance, for instruction in righteousness and things like that, you know, and tell the people, you know, general things. When it comes to your personal life, it's coded in your fingerprint. Nobody can figure that out except the Holy Spirit. He knows it, you know, and it's different for everybody. And nobody can tell it to you, you know. Palm readers, they fake it and try to tell you that. If you submit your palms to them, they'll try. But Jesus warned us about that. John 3:8. As the wind is blowing, nobody knows where it's going. So it's everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. You cannot tell. You cannot divine their life, you know, unless they submit to that nonsense. You can't do it, you know. But, ladies and gentlemen, the message today is this. Enough of this hierarchy. That's what the Nicolaitan spirit was. We are over here, and you are down there. We are the clergy, and you are the laity. We are the ones that hear the word. And you people cannot. Do you know that when they started way back then, that's why the, you know, in the deep, deep traditional Catholic systems, they don't read the Bible. So they don't believe that it can. You know, because the priest, you know, the priest is the only one. They got to go to the priest. Father, you know, it's been X number of days since the last time I seen. And then say, well, you know, this and this. I absolve you in the name of this and that. And then they go out and they do the same thing, come back next week. They do the same thing, come back next week. They will remain exactly like that. You know, Christ has abolished all that nonsense. You know, Christ is now over the house of God as a priest of God. You come directly to Christ. You don't need any mediator other than Christ, you know, and so on. And when you are there, you function in the capacity that the Holy Spirit has put upon you to be a son of God. Hallelujah. And that's what we have been trying to teach in this Emerge series, and more coming in the Transform and Transfigure series. But, you know, let's begin to set ourselves on the right path. Now, why did I go down this path this way? You know, today, because of something that I heard or saw on Clubhouse 2 days ago, and I thought to go in there, and the Holy Spirit said no. Then I said, well, can I at least talk about it on my platform? And he said, yes. Well, so I'm talking about it. you know, to warn every man. Paul said, look, for the space of X number of years, I have warned every man, you know, and so forth. You know, so warning every man and woman, stay away from that stuff. You know, that's not getting you anywhere. And that's not to say that we don't have, you know, prophets and apostles and teachers and but we do. That's why I'm here, teaching the word. But, you know, when we are teaching the word, here's what Jesus said. I mean, here's what the way the Paul says it. He said, but we preach not ourselves, huh? You know, but Christ Jesus the Lord. But we ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. You know, that's how we preach. You know, we don't preach ourselves. We don't preach, you know, in fact, Paul said that, look, those of us who are apostles, we are like the filth of the earth. We have been appointed to death. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, I think. For I think that God has set us, the apostles, last, you know. We'll be appointed to death. We're made a spectacle unto the earth, angels and so forth. We are fools for Christ. This is the way Paul thought of himself as an apostle. He said, we are nothing. We are defamed. We are entreated. You know, we are like the filth of the earth. You know, we're the offscouring of all things, you know, and so forth. You know, but today, oh no. The apostles are bigger than everybody else. The prophets are bigger than everybody else. The pastors, they are over everybody. Pastors today are over all their flock. You know, I know that even in Africa, even in Nigeria, especially, I don't know, maybe they do in other parts of Africa, I'm sure they do. You know, the pastor can't even carry their own Bible. I know every time I visit, you know, I love to visit some, you know, some of my old fellowships where I used to be, and I go to Nigeria, and somebody wants to carry my Bible. It's like, why do you want to carry my Bible? I can't carry my own Bible now. Because, you know, hey, you got the pastor, you know, and so forth. Well, it is good to give honor to whom honor is due. That's okay. But there is an excess of it. Now, here's what God said in Malachi chapter 1, and I'm going to wrap it up here. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. And you know, people said, when I first came to this clubhouse, you know, I don't know, maybe 2020 or whenever, everywhere I went, initially, and I was trying to learn the culture, when I would go into these rooms, somebody would try to speak. They would spend, the thing has lessened now. Of course, I don't go to too many rooms now, but it lessened. You know, it's much less now. But, you know, when this clubhouse thing first got underway, people would come into the house. They would spend they want to speak, right, on the platform. They would spend 5 minutes, you know, exalting the man of the house, the woman of the house, exalting all of these things, but not a single word, you know, to exalt the Lord. You know, goodness. And they said, wow. And I looked and I said, what's that all about? You know, and then of course, you know, the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due, custom to whom custom is due. But what about, you know, Malachi 1 and verse 6. What did God say there? He said, well, you know, you guys give honor to whom honor is due. That's okay. And that's cool. But what about me? You know, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. And if I then be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? You know, but this is what the Lord said to the priests that despise his name and so forth like that. You know, they polluted the bread upon my altar. They're making merchandise of the people and so forth. They've turned the table of the Lord into something else. You know, and then, you know, I said, look, you offer the blind for sacrifice and so forth. And you take advantage of these people, you know, and so on. And the Lord was not happy with any of that. You know, so, yeah, it's okay, you know, to, you know, come and give honor to whom honor is due. But let's not overdo it, you know, even in this house. Let's not overdo it, you know. I'm not doing anything, but what's my duty to do, you know? By the grace of God, you know, if I don't do it, Paul said, look, necessity is laid upon me. If I don't do it, woe is me, you know, so, look. And I wish I'd been doing these things for a long time. You know, so I'm way behind in doing even the things that what am I doing? Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, he said, look, after you've done all these things, you know, then you say that you are unprofitable servants. Well, I have not even done all these things. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you right now, I am an unprofitable servant. You know, I'm only trying to do that which is my duty to do. You know, and I thank those who are appreciated and so forth. You know, but that's okay. Let's not overdo it. We give all the glory to the Lord. You know, now, what I'm trying to teach in this room is, I am not above anybody. I am not better than anybody. As a matter of fact, I often tell the people, look, if you engage in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will give you lessons even beyond what the speaker is saying. I say that all the time in this room. You know, well, my role is to come here and say it, but your role is to engage the Holy Spirit and let Him give you instruction deeper than even what I'm saying. That's right. You know, because we are all lively stones. And we can all hear from the Lord. Lord may use somebody to trigger it. You know, my actions here are just a trigger. You know, I say something, I trigger something in you. But the Holy Spirit will take you into a dimension and a realm. The pastor can't be there with you. It's you and him only. So ladies and gentlemen, in this process, let's keep things straight. And let's do things right. You know, let's put Jesus on top where he belongs. Hallelujah. And Jesus, you know, some people try to put Jesus on top, but they try to stay right there next with him. I tell you what, the thing that brought Lucifer down was when he tried to do that. Do you ever think of it? You know, the moment that Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. Well, that was his downfall. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, apostles, prophets, pastors, or anything, be careful now. The moment you try to be head and shoulders above the people, you lost it. You may not know it. There was a time Samson lost his power and he didn't know it. And he said, well, I'm going to bestir myself like other times. But the Spirit of God was already gone. You look. And I say to, there's a lot of people prophesying today, but the Spirit of God is already gone. Well, because the gifts and calling of God, according to Romans 11:29, and without repentance, people can still prophesy. The gift of God is already gone. You know, the Spirit of God has already moved on, but they grieve the Spirit in walking in unrighteousness. And the Spirit of God has moved on, and yet they are still prophets over the people. Let's open our eyes, ladies and gentlemen. The blind leader will only lead you into the ditch if you also are blind. The blind leads the blind, they fall into the ditch. But let the leader be blind, but you open your eyes wide. No fall in the ditch with them. Deliver yourself as a rope. You know, be clean, escaped. Come out of them. Come out of all this nonsense. And let's be the people of God that are set on emerging into sons of God. You know, now these people go land and sea to make one proselyte, Jesus said. Come pass land and sea to make one proselyte, and then make them twice the child of hell. We don't want that. We want a true sonship. And the process that we've been trying to develop is you must develop yourself. The Holy Spirit is helping us to do it. All the way from being an unbeliever into that sonship. Now, many categories that we go through. I've talked about this before. More on that is coming. And when we go from being an unbeliever to a believer to a saint, you know, to getting the Holy Spirit, to come into service, to becoming a friend, and then a son, and a part of the bride sheep, as a process. And the place that you are going to is the one-on-one union with Christ in the most holy place. And that's you. That's not an apostle there with you. That's not a prophet there with you. That's you. Hallelujah. And in this season, you know, of celebrating the birth of Christ, you know, may the word be made flesh in you as well. And this word is a hammer. You know, a hammer and break down some things, but it's also a builder, upper, you know. God said to Jeremiah, let's pull down some things, let's throw down some things, let's cast down some things, let's destroy some, that's debunk. You know, let's debunk some things. Then let's build and let's plant. That's right. Or let's plant and let's build. You know, so we got to unlearn as many things that we need to unlearn. We've been trying to do that in this room. You know, so, and if you are here for the first time or listening to our message, this message for the first time, I'm glad many of you have been here, you know, a lot. This is, I don't always teach like this, but, you know, sometimes I will if the Lord calls for it. But that is the lesson for today. You know, so may the Lord help us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And I want to pray prayer for all the true ministries and ministers that are out there. I won't call them fivefold because they're not. You know, fivefold actually implies that they can have all the ministries and they can't. You know, now, and nobody either can have all the gifts of the Spirit. You can't. Anybody tell you that it's incorrect. Because if one part of the body had everything, then where's the use for the others? So it can't be. You know, and God has given all of these things. And the gifts of the Spirit are for service. That's right. That's why he said the gifts are given for you to profit with all. You know, when you are, you know, do work with it and earn some credit. It is a service. For the service to the body of Christ. That's what it is. It's not for us to elevate ourselves or make ourselves anything. Much less the ministries. These ministry roles of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are factory workers. And they are supposed to manufacture. You might call this manufacturing. This process that we're going to be embarking, you know, that we've been trying to talk about, you might call it the manufacturing of the sons of God. You know, God is using some human hands. The Holy Spirit is the one that's doing the work. But he's using some factory workers. And their product is the sons of God that will roll out of that assembly line. That's it. You know, we're not waiting. The world is not waiting for apostles. You know, so if you hear or see something and say apostles and prophets are emerging, think again. You know, we've had thousands of them, hundreds of thousands even, but the world is still growing. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. Let me close with that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. What is it that the world is waiting for? Well, the earnest expectation of the preacher waited for the manifestation of apostles and prophets. Is that what it says in your Bible? No. Waited for the manifestation of pastors and evangelists and teachers? No. He's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And that's what we must produce. And we ourselves must walk with the Holy Spirit and develop to sonship. That's where it's all about. So that's my lesson today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I hope the Holy Spirit he spoke to you and so forth. Now, God has given us some true pastors, and you may be, you know, I have nothing against your churches or anything. You know, that's not what this is all about. You stay where you are. You know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He needs those people that are shepherds over you. And they're doing their jobs well. You keep praying for them. That's what you do. You pray for them. Don't elevate anybody, but you pray for them. You know, that God will enable them to do their work right. And you pray for them and so forth. But, you know, be careful when you come into platforms like this, especially, you know, and there are some people that don't have that discipline. They have, you know, that guy that told you came to our church one day telling me that he was a prophet and, you know, I was a pastor and he was roaming around the street. He probably got kicked out of some church because he was unruly. And they kicked him out. Now he's going about looking for whom he may devour. You know, that's exactly right. That's exactly what he was doing. You know, so, you know, but, you know, I didn't give the Bible say neither give place to the devil. I didn't give anyone a chance to do that. You know, so. You know, but there are true ministries, and I'm going to spend a few minutes now to pray for those who are truly, you know, truly doing this work. Because we don't want the the dark cloud, you know, to mess up those who are truly trying to do the work for the Lord. So Father, I pray for those who are truly dark cold. You know, those who have answered the call have said yes and have positioned themselves for the Lord and the Holy Spirit to use them. For the true ministers that are out there, whether they be men or women, doesn't matter. There's no female or male in Christ. For all those that are out there that are doing the true work of the Lord, and the Lord strengthen their hands, and they will not be weary, and they will continue to be faithful, and not look at any faces. Preach this word faithfully in the name of Jesus. And help the people also to focus on the Lord and not on any man. Thank you, Father. And I pray as we begin to listen more to these messages, you will sharpen us. We're pressed into more accurate shape like Christ. You know, that's what the word of the prophet is supposed to do. Press us into a more accurate shape like Christ. Hallelujah. And Father, I pray for those who are true ministers, that they will not care about their pockets to the extent that they won't even be able to preach the word. Ladies and gentlemen, some people can't speak the truth because, you know, if they do, they will run off some people and their offerings will be less. So they can't do it. So they got to patch the truth somehow, you know, to let the people keep coming so that they can get more offering. Well, they have their reward, saith the Lord. You know, praise God. You know, so I thank God for those who are true ministers who are not bound by those things. I thank God I'm not bound by those. Nobody can fire me because nobody's paying me. You know, so, you know, I can speak this word boldly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we pray for every one of the one of the people of God that are true ministers, that you strengthen them to preach the true gospel, undiluted word of God. And help us who are listeners as well to engage you in the spirit and be elevated in Christ Jesus to come into the sonship, which is where you're calling us to be. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.